personal this morning. Oh, I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Whatever, wherever it may be, 'cause I know that you know what's best for Lord. Oh, I want what you want for me.
Stand this morning and sing this.
Yeah. We're living below in this old sinful world. Oh, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation. A refuge for my soul. Well, I'm needing a friend to help me in the end. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. Along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, well, tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? Well, oh, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Well, I'm seeking a refuge for my soul. I'm needing a friend to help me in the end. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face this chilling hand of death, oh, where could I go but to the Lord? Tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Well, I'm seeking a refuge for my soul. I'm needing a friend to help me in the end. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord? sinful world. There's hardly a comfort can afford. We're striving alone to face temptation sore. Oh, where could I go but to the are kind. I love them, everyone. Oh, we get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs some manna from above, Lord, tell me where could I go but to my Lord? Oh, singing, where could I go? Oh, where could I go when I'm seeking refuge for my soul? And I'm needing a friend to save me in the end. Oh, tell me, where could I go but to my Lord?
Amen. Aren't you thankful that we have a place where we can go to? Amen. I don't know where else I would rather turn to but to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We'll be having Labor Day meetings, Labor Day weekend, Friday night at 7:30. Brother David Seiler will be preaching for us. Saturday evening at 7:30, Brother Wes Willis will be preaching for us. And then Sunday morning, our regular service, Brother David Seiler will be preaching again. And Sunday night, Brother Wes Willis. And we will be changing back to our regular times next Sunday. So Sunday school for the children will start at 10:30, regular service at 11, and the evening service at 6:30. So remember that. And we've got a testimony I want to share. Says, I want to give praise to our God. In April, we found there was a growth that had to be removed and tested. During the 4th of July meetings, Brother Donnie Reagan and my pastor, Brother Nathan Bryant, prayed for me. I felt the presence of God and kept believing. The surgery was scheduled, and the devil really pressured me like never before. I had nights that I couldn't sleep. I couldn't take care of my family, cook, etc. I texted my pastor to pray for me and was able to sleep all night. God is good all the time. The surgery went well, and at my three-week appointment, the doctor gave us the news that the growth was not cancerous. Since my younger sister passed in 2012, I was worried. I appreciate my church family that was standing in prayer with me and my humble husband, handling all my ups and downs and helping me go through this. God never fails. Just keep believing, Sister Estera Johnson. So praise the Lord. Amen. God's good. Amen. Amen. He's a present help in times of trouble. And we've got some prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Brother Joel, I believe, had ran into Brother James Phillips, and he said that I think he had just had a surgery to replace his pacemaker, so want to remember him in prayer for a continued recovery. Also, Brother Lauren is having knee surgery on Tuesday, I believe, so want to remember him in prayer. And Sister April Stutzman is recovering from outpatient surgery. Want to remember her in prayer. And there's a prayer request from Sister Vera. Says, a family friend named John, for years he's had an infection in his legs and the doctors can't get rid of it. So we want to remember him in prayer. We know the Lord's able. He's a great physician.
Amen.
Amen. And Sister Sherry Virgin says, a friend of mine's 32-year-old daughter had a bad asthma attack and was found unresponsive on Thursday evening. She remains in a coma. And her mother is asking for us to pray for her. Her name is Kristen, and she is in critical condition. I want to remember that prayer request this morning as well. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Good to have Brother G with us again in the service. I'm asking Brother G, would you just come and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Amen. Lord bless you, my friends. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Only believe. Gracious Heavenly Father, Creator and Sustainer of life, like the song that was sung, where could we go but to Thee? We are taught that Thou art a present help in the time of trouble. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Firstly, Lord, we want to thank you for such an atmosphere that we can come and gather in a place like this, giving you thanks for the testimony that the papers were signed to purchase this building. That is a great victory, O God, and a great blessing. We want to appreciate that happening from the depths of our hearts. We know what that means. Another listening spot, another listening post, Heavenly Father, where this message is being preached. Father, we pray that as these requests have been read in your presence, that we have a confidence that you are able to perform whatever is requested. You are Jehovah of miracles. With the kind of message that you've given to us, we have no excuse to doubt. We have no excuse, Lord, to back off. But Lord, we say, do your pleasure to fulfill your word. As the prophet said, the angel of the Lord loved this song of only belief. And we are believing in our hearts. You said in your word, I am the Lord that forgiveth all thy iniquities, transgressions, and healeth all thy diseases. Lord, every situation that's been mentioned here, we have no single doubt that you are able to perform. Even some that don't believe with us or that don't come to church with us, but they've seen a witness that these people are Christians. And this lady that has given a prayer request for her daughter, Lord, we want to pray that you visit that sick person, that the angel of the Lord will be by the side of that bird, that the Holy Spirit that will fill in this place will go there and do something. Father, in every other request that's been read and mentioned, we want to thank you that you've already heard it and you've already started to do and perform the expected. We commit this song service in your hands, Lord, in the coming word. We pray that you prepare our hearts and give us a wonderful time in your presence. And each of us with raised up hands, we pray that the Holy Spirit will visit bench to bench and aisle to aisle and heart to heart and perform the expected. Be with your servants and people gathered around the country, around the world, for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Good morning again, church. Good to be in the house of God. I'm glad to be able to walk in this morning and say thank you, Lord, for providing this place for us. I like what Brother Joseph told me at the camp when the last teenagers, Brother Andrew, went, and we went to pick him up, and I had the privilege of shaking his hand and hugging his neck. And I said, I guess you heard about our church that we've been approved to buy it. And he said, yes. He said, isn't that wonderful? He says, and now you won't have to worry about moving again. So I just really appreciate those kind words from him on that. 31st chapter, 3:1, 31st chapter of the book of Psalm. And I'm probably like all of you, I'll be glad when we can get our screen up and our projector and so forth. But you know what? It doesn't hurt to look on the written pages either, on the paper pages, I should say. I like the electronics, but I also like reading out of the paper. Amen. So whichever way God provides it. 31st chapter, we're going to be reading 1 through 14 this morning. And if the Lord would be willing and he tarries, we'll finish up this chapter next week. It said, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me.
Pull me out of the net that they have made firmly for me, for thou art my strength.
Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities.
And hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room.
Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me.
I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel.
For I have heard the slander of many, and fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me, and they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. God bless you, and please be seated.
Amen. God bless you. Brother Buckles, I think you got a special for us this morning if you come at this time. Good to see Brother Joe Howdesell's son, Joseph, with us this morning. He had a real bad bike accident recently, but the Lord really preserved him and could have been much worse, but glad he's doing okay. And Sister Becky, good to see you over the flu, and good to have each and every one of you visitors and home folks and whatever you might be. Good to have Brother Buckles with us this morning. We love this brother. He's got a special for us this morning. God bless you, brother. God bless you.
Good morning to you. Good to see you. Good to be here. I'd like to be in church all the time, but when you get kind of a little bit of age on you, you're inclined to go by your feelings. Amen. I have a song here, The Solid Rock. I like that song. It's because God never moves, does he? There's no soft spots about him. He's as hard as a rock. And I think that's what that writer, I believe Jesus said that maybe. He said, "He that falleth upon this rock or this stone shall be broken." And the reason is because the rock is harder than it is. But he whom the stone shall fall on will grind him a little bit. Amen. And I'm glad that we've got a God that we can trust and that he is unmovable. He is not movable in any way at all. And I'm so glad of that. Because I can put my trust in him. I know that he's not going to move this way or that way. He's not going to be like the pendant of a clock. Amen. Amen. Some people will declare, you know, oh, this is the way I'm going. But 3 days from there, the pendant's back over here. And he's changed his mind. So, but God is not like that. And he wants us to be like him. Be you perfect as I'm perfect. And we have to be hard. Like, right, I think that's the reason why the Jewish people, his own people, hated him, because they were looking for him to satisfy him just a little bit, move just a little bit this way to satisfy their ego or pride or something. But Jesus was unmovable.
Amen.
Amen. And they hated him because of that. And they'll hate you today. Whenever you stand on that word and you won't move off of it, they'll just, friends, I'll tell you, it's awesome how people can hate you because you won't compromise just a little bit. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that makes you a hybrid, doesn't it? It's something when you, I don't want to walk up to a orange tree and find a lemon. Amen. I believe it's E flat. I believe it is. The solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other grounds is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the wailing flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground sand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground
Amen. You appreciate that this morning. Brother G, if you got a special you can share with us or teach us something or just whatever you have on your heart, brother. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, sir. Well, I was just ready to sing and enjoy the congregation and get ready to hear the word. Bless you, Brother David. Praise the Lord. Anyway, Brother Branham preaches so much about the name of Jesus. And the song that we've been enjoying with the young people back at camp and over at the tabernacle. And I don't know whether we can learn it quickly. The young people learn quicker. I don't know if you can make yourself young this morning. And the scripture says you cannot be like a little child when, you know, you're in danger of missing it, okay? So just for a few minutes, we can try to do that. It's called, There Is Power in the Name of Jesus to Break Every Chain. Brother Branham, he was speaking in one of the messages of a dream that Brother Borders and them, they were caught up in a cage. Yes. All right? They were big irons. They couldn't move out. And one sister there said, no, it's going to take somebody, a power more than a human being to do it. Yes. I said, oh, Brother Branham, free us from this cage here. Right? So, he says, I was just looking at the people. His friend was there and everybody was there. Then, he says, then all of a sudden I saw a streak of light. Right? And he looked, and up there, he saw the Lord Jesus standing in the air. And the Lord said, speak the word, free those people. Says, just speak his name. Amen. And Brother Bram says, house of hell, give way to the name of Jesus Christ. And there was a mighty shaking. And those chains and those iron bars, they just broke down. And the people walked out. Amen. Shouting, we are free, we are free. Amen. Praise the Lord. So whatever condition you are this morning, there is power. Whatever need you have, there is power. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. So we'll learn it a bit. And then I want to thank you for sending your kids to the camp. And we really enjoyed them. And all the support you do for Brother Joseph and the tabernacle and Voice of God. May God richly bless you. That name is performing miracles out in Africa. Down in South America. So we know what we are singing about. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's sweet.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Okay, you can never sing that song while seated. You won't enjoy it. We were just learning, we were in the learning process, okay? If I miss the key, you just help me. If it's low, if we need to raise it, we'll do that. I'm not really a song leader. They sing a song like this before maybe we play a tape or before we come to preach the word. So I just, you know, stand in the gap for song leaders. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is power in name of Jesus. There is power. There is power. Hallelujah. Break every chain. 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 Praise the Lord. We want to do this. We want to sing it a little slow. We want the words to simmer down as you think about it. We want to sing it fast, okay? Let's go. You go like this.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of
Jesus. Yes.
Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Let's sing it.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. Power in the name of Jesus.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Let's raise our hands.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. The bride is right.
The bride is rising up. The bride is rising up. The bride is rising up.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain. You know what Brother Brown said one time? He was dedicating a church somewhere. So he says, as I see my time moving out, he says, young men like your pastor, I believe, will take this message and sweep you to the coming of the Lord. That's many years ago. The person he was referring to as a young man is now old now. But God is raising up another army. And right at this place, there's an army rising up. Another pause for this message. And we believe, Brother Nathan, God has raised him up to be one of the armies, one of the soldiers in the army. And this little group here to be one of the many soldiers around the world. And you must know that there's an army rising up.
There's an army rising up. There's an army.
be rising up. There's an rising up to break every chain, 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 break every chain. Will this inner rising up? This inner rising up? Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. As you see Brother Joseph encouraging the young people, set them ready to be serious Christians and take up responsibilities. As we see the elderly going forth, but God will never have a situation where there is no witness. These young people, they'll receive and carry the burden. Let's encourage them and encourage one another. Rising up, rising up. Rising up, rising up. Rising up. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. In the name of Jesus, break every chain, 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 break every chain. One more time. There is power.
Let's sing it this way. Oh, I can feel my chains, they're falling. Oh, I can feel every chain of doubt and unbelief, it's falling. Oh, I can feel all my chains, they're falling. Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Amen. Is that your desire this morning for him to come and just break every chain? Amen. God bless you. The brothers come this morning, turn around and shake somebody's hand, welcome them to the service. Good to be together this morning to fellowship and worship the Lord together in spirit and truth. Amen. How many's looking for a rapture? Amen. Brother Bram said it'll be a universal rapture. If Brother Jesus is in Zimbabwe, he don't have to worry. It's a universal rapture. Amen. If you're here or out of town or somewhere overseas doing something for the Lord, you don't have to worry. It's a universal rapture. In fact, Brother Branham teaches us that we are the rapture. It's inside of us. Amen. When the Holy Ghost comes, He gave us everything we needed for the journey. Let's sing this together, number 369 in your hymn book.
Oh, I know some glad morning when this life is over. Oh, I'll fly away. I'm going to a home on God's celestial shore. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, sing it out. I'll fly away. Oh, glory. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Oh, I'll fly away. And when the shadows of this life are thrown, I know I'll fly away. Oh, just like a bird from these prison bars that's flown. Weary days, and then I know the bride.
Amen. Have you made preparations to fly away? Brother Bram said it this way one time. He said, have you made preparations to change coats?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I believe those, if we've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, somebody can try to convince you got to do all kinds of other things, but Jesus said you must be born again.
Amen.
He didn't say you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to come this way and that way and all these different ways. He said you must be born again.
Amen.
Amen. If you haven't been born again, this morning would be a good time.
Amen.
To touch the throne of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Our song service is a little longer than normal, but there's just something about worshiping the Lord. If you don't enjoy worshiping the Lord, maybe you better find an altar somewhere. Or you might as well forget about going to heaven, because we'll worship him there for millions and millions and millions of years. We'll just be saying holy, holy, holy to the Lord God Almighty. There's something about worship that brings his presence. Amen. There's no other place I'd rather be than in his presence. We appreciate the building the Lord has provided us, but it's not about the building. It's about his presence.
Amen.
And if his presence isn't welcome here, then it wouldn't that matter how nice the building would be or what the people that would come, although we appreciate it. If he's not here, there's not very much going to be accomplished. But when he comes, great things can take place. And I appreciated what Brother G was saying there. Brother Hoover had told me last Sunday, he said he was going to read a quote from Works as Faith Expressed in 1965. I said, House of Hell? And he said, no, not that one, a different quote. And then Brother G got up and quoted it this morning. So I love that, Works as Faith Expressed, and how that all my, when those, Brother Bram said, it sounded like those bars just began to pop and crack and everything at the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're bound this morning, all those chains can be broke by the name of Jesus.
Right.
Turn with me, if you would, to St. Mark's Gospel. Thank you, musicians. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. I'm thankful that God has provided us a place of worship, a building to come and worship in, but we know that the only provided place for worship is underneath the Word. And so we want to make sure that anything that's brought forth from here is behind the Word.
Amen.
And that we know that God will come and honor it. As we've said many times before, I've said it, Brother Layton said it, different ones have said it. I feel like if we can do three things, we'll continue to do all right. If we can stay humble, if we can stay in love with everybody, and if we can stay on the Word, then I believe God will continue to bless. As soon as one of those three things happen, you see a church that's failing or people that are falling away, usually you find it's one of those three things. They got off the Word, they went off here, went off there, or they decided to draw a circle and say, well, it's our group, but not this group. Or they got puffed up and said, oh, look, what a better place we have, or a better group we have, or nicer dressed, or whatever. But just stay humble, stay in the Word, and stay in love with everybody, and it'll all turn out right. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I believe Jesus said in one place, Brother Bram teaches it, calls it the forgotten beatitude. He said, blessed is he that's not offended in me.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this morning, we're thankful for your presence here in our midst. We're thankful for the group of people that's gathered this morning. Lord, they've come out in the heat of the day and Lord, to gather together to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. And we want to thank you for what you've done in this age, Lord, how you sent us a prophet and restored us back to the original truth. Lord, how you restored us back to what they had on the day of Pentecost. And Lord, you've come and vindicated this message with signs and wonders following, to where we don't have to question, we don't have to wonder, Lord, but it's a vindicated message. Lord, I thank you for a group of people that's still standing for it and still believing it. Lord, in the face of every adversary and persecution, and though it's made fun of and criticized, but yet there's still a group that's pressing on and still believing the truth. Lord, I thank you, even though it's not popular, Lord, help us never to be offended in you or in your word. Lord, I can stand and say with all sincerity, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ or of his messenger, William Branham. I'm not ashamed this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you've placed something within me. Lord, when there's many others that would be ashamed or offended, but yet there's a group of people that find no offense in the Word of God. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for all that we see you doing. Thank you for even the things, Lord, that you're doing in the background that maybe we don't see with our physical eyes, but yet you're still manifesting, you're unfolding, you're revealing yourself to us, Lord, and you're answering prayers, Lord, maybe even sometimes before we realize what you're doing. Lord, Brother Bram said you already always answered yes, no, or wait a while. And he said if we truly have the right, sincere desire in our hearts, that even your no's should be just as much to us as your yes's are, because we want your perfect will for our life. Lord, help us this morning as we look into your word again. May you just draw us closer to you, as that's our desire, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I want to look at the thought of pressurized this morning. Pressurized. And Jesus speaks of several different groups here in St. Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. But I want to look at this group where he talks about the sower when he sowed the seed and he sowed it on stony ground. He likens that to those who heard the word. And once they heard it, they immediately, there was something about it that caught their attention. Maybe they saw a miracle, or maybe they heard something doctrinally, or some revelation in the scripture that they thought, you know, that just makes sense to me and I see it in the word. Intellectually, they received it and they accepted it quickly. They were excited. They were glad. They went and shared it with other people. But because they didn't have a root in themselves, because they were never completely converted and they were just kind of floating around on the surface, they endure for a time. Maybe they stay in the message for 6 months. Maybe it's 50 years, whatever it would be. They endure for a time, but afterward, when they begin to feel affliction or persecution and it becomes suddenly not very popular to stand for the word, they're quickly offended and they wander away. Now, this word affliction, I want to look at it. It's a Greek word, which is thlipsis, which means tribulation, affliction, trouble, persecution, or oppressing, pressing together, pressure, oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress, or straits. And when we begin to see these things happen, many times when the pressures of life come, if you aren't pressurized for that pressure, you'll either have to, you'll just implode, or you'll have to get out or do something different, get in a different atmosphere. But Brother Branham says in present stage of my ministry, 1962, he said, we are pressurized for the place that we live. Now, we know what that's like because most of us in the Jeffersonville area, we know what that means like to be pressurized for the place that you live. Now, Brother Bram talks about a little fish, how he could go down to the bottom of the ocean and he could live down there in sub-degree temperatures. And if we would try to go down there and live without any type of a atmosphere surrounding us, whether it be a submarine or whatever it would be, and when we go into those depths, eventually the pressures of the water as we got deeper, or the coldness of the water, our body wouldn't be able to handle it because we're not pressurized for that type of atmosphere. We weren't made to live in that environment, but yet there's fish down there that live in such darkness and they've never seen any type of light that they don't even have eyeballs, and they get around by sense of feeling or smell or different ways of getting around, but they don't have any need for eyes because they live so deep that it's so dark and such a pressure and such coldness. But yet if you would bring them up to the surface, they would only live a few minutes because they're not pressurized for this condition. They're not pressurized for heat and light and for the pressures that we would have at sea level, but yet they're pressurized for something different. And we find that God pressurizes each thing, whether it's an animal, whether it's a person. He pressurizes you for the place that you live in. Some of you would look around and you would think, oh my, I could never be a missionary to China or somewhere like that where it's a communistic country, and my, they might stand you up in front of a firing squad or something for handing somebody a Bible. I can never handle those type of pressures, and yet other brothers and sisters over there that go about gladly doing that and happy to do it, and they would maybe come here and think, you people are crazy in Jeffersonville. There's no way I could live here. Why? Because they're not pressurized for here, and you're not pressurized for there. Brother G knows some of the conditions in Ghana and different places, Haiti and Siberia and Iran and Russia, and some of these places that the Christians, they live in very desperate. Destitute. Maybe they hardly have a hut over their head, and maybe they're persecuted. persecuted. Maybe there's tribal wars that they have to contend with and not sure if they're going to die. Or maybe in Muslim countries, even just naming the name of Jesus, they might be decapitated or tortured or whatever it be. They're up against all kinds of different pressures. And we look at that and we think, I could never live in that environment. I couldn't handle that pressure. But God didn't pressurize you for that. He pressurized you for your area. He pressurized you for this condition that you're in. And if he sends you somewhere, he'll pressurize you for that environment. We find out that through the ages, there were different ones down through the church ages, the martyrs in the dark ages, that they would stand there and they would be given a choice. Either you deny Christ, or we'll tie a team of horses to one arm and a team of horses to the other arm, and we'll send them in two different directions as fast as they can, or we'll burn you at the stake, or we'll torture you, or chop your head off, or crucify you, whatever it would be. And they had to stand there, and we look at that and we think, dear Lord, how could we handle that pressure to see them take and kill our children just because we were Christians, or take our loved ones and chop them up at the chopping block? How could they handle that pressure? But they were pressurized for the age and the condition that they lived in. They lived in the ox age, and they were just giving their life as a sacrifice to God, and they lived in that environment and that pressure. But yet they could look maybe in Laodicea and see all the torment that we're against, and all of the technology and the temptation and the pressures of life and the fast pace and all that we go through, and they would look and say, we could never handle those pressures, but we're pressurized for this age that we live in. Deep sea divers, if they go over about 200 feet, I know some of the brothers have done some diving, some scuba diving and things like that, but usually just doing it for leisure and things like that, they hardly ever take you over 100 feet deep because of the situations and things that you have to be trained for. But commercial divers that go 200 feet or greater, they use a tank that's not just compressed air, but they have a mix of nitrogen and oxygen and helium in this tank, because once you get down a certain depth, the pressure begins to push the oxygen out of your body, out of your lungs, out of anywhere that oxygen would be throughout your body, and the pressure begins to be too strong, so they have to mix it with more nitrogen and even sometimes helium, depending on the depth. Now, if they get deep enough, then the amount of nitrogen and helium that they would need to pump through as they get deeper and deeper and deeper, a natural diver without anything around him to pressurize him, the internal pressures and things pushing out the oxygen, eventually it would be so much helium or so much nitrogen to try to combat that it would kill him in that manner. Well, if he didn't have the other two, he would just lose oxygen completely and it would kill him in that manner. But there's certain depths that they've scientifically proved, and a certain mix of the nitrogen and oxygen and helium can pressurize them to those depths where if you just tried to jump in with the weight and go down to that depth without it, your lungs would maybe collapse, or you would lose breath, you would lose consciousness quickly. But yet there's a way to pressurize to where they can go down deeper sometimes than you would even want to imagine, they can put them in vessels that are pressurized and go down to the very bottom of some of the deepest depths of the ocean that they found. But if you tried to just get in and go down there without anything around you, your body would probably implode. But what is it? They're pressurized for the condition that they're doing in. That's why when you're driving in the mountains, or when you get in an airplane and fly, when you're ascending quickly or descending quickly, your ears begin to pop because of the changes in atmospheric pressure. And at sea level, it's about 14.7 psi of pressure at sea level, because the atmosphere goes up, I believe it's about 3 miles in the air, if I remember correctly, the Earth's atmosphere, and it's pressing down. And at sea level, 14.7 psi, you take an animal from the depths of the ocean and bring it up here and lay it on the land, and it would die in a few minutes because of the amount of oxygen, the amount of pressure. But yet you take us down there and put us there, we would die in a matter of a few minutes. What is it? God pressurized each one for the condition that he would live in. Now, atheists go about and they say, oh, everything happened randomly and by chance, and all the planets and the stars and the moons and the galaxies and the animals on earth, they dragged out of the mud by a little single cell, and it just began to evolve. But we find, as we begin to look at it, and science itself has proved that if you took us and placed us on any other planet or in any other galaxy or universe, universe or anything that they've been able to look and see, we wouldn't be able to survive because of the distance from the sun. Either it'd be too cold or too hot. Our body couldn't handle it. Either it would be too much oxygen or not enough oxygen. Our body couldn't handle it. Either there would be too much gravity and it would crush us, or not enough gravity and we would float off. But yet somehow, by random selection, they say, there was a being that was created on the earth, and it was just able to survive the specific atmosphere, the specific pressure, the specific amount of helium and oxygen and nitrogen, and oh my, the amount of pressures and the amount of everything that we have here, the heat, the cold, everything that we've seen. We were placed here in the only place that we could inhabit. Amen. The only place that would naturally inhabit us, and God says, let there be. And he places Adam here. I don't believe it was by natural selection. Well, it was. God naturally selected and said, here, God. God said, let there be, and there was. That's the type of selection I believe in. It wasn't just something random. It wasn't just something that took place. And yet all of these things that take place, then we begin to try to go into another atmosphere, and you get up to where the airliners cruise and things like that, 30 to 43,000 feet in the air. It's about 4 PSI, and our bodies couldn't handle to breathe in that for very long at all. So they found a way to force air into the cabin, so they pressurize it. And as you're rising up and they're trying to tweak and pressurize that, and the atmospheric pressure is changing, there's oxygen that gets trapped in your ear canal, and it has to force itself out and causes your ears to pop. Now, if they weren't doing that pressurization, you would just suffocate in a few minutes, and that would be all there was. So they do that, but they haven't got it perfectly to where every so many feet it just changes to where the atmosphere is perfectly what it would be at sea level. So our bodies go through those things. But yet they're pressurized, and they're trying to pressurize it to what we're used to down here on earth. They're trying to get it similar to that. Now, God, when he does something, when he sends somebody, he pressurizes them for the job that they're going to do. There's many people, I look and I think, Lord, I'm glad that you came and died at Calvary for me and for the sins of the world. I don't know that I could have went through what he did, but he didn't call me to go through what he did. He came and he took my place, and he was pressurized for the job. I begin to look at great prophets of old, and even in our day, look at Brother Branham's life and the things that he went through, and how Satan was able to take his wife and his children, and how they died there, and the troubles that he went through and the persecution that he faced. I think, Lord, he traveled such a hard road to bring us this message. Lord, I don't know that I could have done the lengths that he went to go and to bring the message, when sometimes he would stand there in a prayer line day after day, and they'd bring food to his to the platform there, and he'd eat, and he'd try to lean over and take a nap for a few seconds. And he said when he got done there in Jonesboro, Arkansas, there was more people to be prayed for after praying day and night for day after day after day. There was a bigger line to be prayed for than when he started. And he said he was so tired, he went down through there driving, beating his leg against the side of the door. And he said he when he came to himself, he just drove right out in a cow pasture. And he was standing outside of the car saying, just accept it, sister. Just accept it. He put himself through that much strain and that much pressure. And no doubt, you know, he said to preach just about an hour in the pulpit, I think he said, or 30 or 40 minutes, was like driving a sledgehammer for about 8 hours. And he said one of those visions would take more from him than preaching for 4 hours and maybe see 30 visions a night. How could he handle it? I couldn't handle it, but he was pressurized, Brother G. He was pressurized. He said that eagle can fly up higher than the rest of the birds can. He said, oh my, some little other bird try to fly up there, it would disintegrate. But he said he's pressurized to be able to go in the heavenlies. He says in the countdown in 1964, he said, get pressurized. The pressure won't hurt you when you get on the inside and get pressurized. Get in Christ and you won't care what the world says. They can't never hit you anyhow. You're safe. You're tucked in. Oh, I hope you're pressurized this morning. If you aren't, you won't last very long around the message. There's too many pressures. There's too many temptations to go back to the garlic and leeks and things in Egypt. It's so much easier and all that. Oh, he never promised it would be easy. What he said was, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He said, I'll pressurize you for the journey. We took Brother Donnie and Sister Carol when they was here for the 4th of July meetings and took them on a tour at Voice of God. Brother Dan Evans took us around and gave us a very extended tour. I so appreciated it, what he did for us. And he took us in a room there, and Brother Joe Sacker gave us a demonstration on the robot that does all the work for the Agapo, the big machine that does all the work for the Agapo tablet, putting it together. And they researched. They wanted this to be something that, you know, we have iPads and iPhones and all that. And my, you drop them out of a car and the screen cracks and you got to take it back and fix it. But they're wanting to send it over into places like where there'll be sandstorms and where there'll be extreme heat and where there'll be all kinds of circumstances and situations. So they wanted to make this something durable that the bride could have. And they begin to research and look into different types of material. They wanted to have something to where they didn't have to take it apart to put the battery in, to where it would be sealed perfectly so no water and no sand and no air bubbles and things could get inside of it. So they found a battery that was a 10-year battery that they could use where they don't have to take it apart. They just throw it away after 10 years. And so since they didn't have to break it apart to put in a new battery, they was able to seal it so tightly where nothing could get in. And to do this, they began to research the best type of rubbers and the best type of plastics to use. And they found a plastic that's used in car bumpers. And a company that makes that plastic for Toyota, they've got a special design that they do, supposed to be one of the best. And it just so happened that a few years before, because of some situations they were going through, moved the company to Jeffersonville, Indiana, a few miles down the road from Voice of God. And the plastic that they're looking for was just a stone's throw down Highway 62 from them. And the plastic doesn't come in great big sheets or in squares or anything like you would think. It comes in little bitty pellets that are plastic, and it looks like BBs, about the size of a BB gun that you would shoot. And they take this plastic and they pour it into the machine, and there's a screw that goes in and it compresses that plastic and it heats it up. There's heaters in there to try to keep it the right temperature, but it's actually the intense pressure of this drill that's screwing into the plastic and forcing these pieces into the mold. It's the intense pressure that bonds it together and makes it as durable as it is. Oh my, you say, oh, I don't want any affliction. I don't want any persecution. That word there, thalipsis, we just looked at it. It means a pressing together, pressure. Oh, you don't want any affliction? You're not going to be very pressurized. That when the trials of life begin to come and the frictions, maybe you've got friction in your home. Maybe you've got friction at your job. Maybe there's friction in your church. Maybe there's brothers and sisters that you love them, but you just can't hardly stand to be around them. And it causes some friction whenever you get around them. Oh, they believe this and they believe that. And they're always trying to tell me this. And I don't even want to be around them. What is it? It's a little bit of friction that's pressurizing. And it's beginning to take and to mold and to melt us and to pressurize us into something that'll be durable. We have to be pressurized for a flight that we're getting ready to take. Oh my, it begins to force that plastic and the intenseness of it. It begins to mold it. It begins to melt it and form it in such a way that the very pressure of it being so intense begins to melt, mold it together in a way that's more solid than you could ever do on your own of trying to fix it and work it out. What is it? The intense pressure bonds it together. There's something about it that intense pressure begins to bond the bride of Jesus Christ together. And when we begin to see a little persecution come, and maybe somebody say, oh, I couldn't hardly stand to be around Brother G. You know, he believes this and he stands for that. But then you let Brother G get in trouble and you let somebody come and attack his church or attack him personally and begin to criticize him because of his stand for the message. And you watch those message believers begin to join together around the world and stand for a brother. Why? Because now they're not just attacking a man or an idea, but they're attacking the very thing that we believe. And we begin to say, hey, I want to stand with my brother. He's a brother. What is it? The pressures begin to force us together. Oh, thank God for pressure. You say, I don't like pressure. Well, if it wasn't for pressure, your lungs couldn't expand. We die very quickly. Pressure is a good thing. Brother Bram even said a little bit of tension is good. If you didn't have any tension, your arms would just hang down loose and flop around. You wouldn't be able to walk. So a little bit of tension is good. A little bit of pressure is all right. But when the bride of Jesus Christ, when they begin to attack her, Brother Branham said when this picture was taken in Sam Houston Coliseum, he said there was a man named Dr. Best, and he said he would begin to attack divine healing. And he said before, he said, oh my, there was people, he said maybe they were oneness, maybe they were two-ness, maybe they were three-ness, maybe they were assemblies of God, whatever they would be, Baptist, Methodist, whatever. And he said, but when he began to attack divine healing, he said they begin to come from everywhere, from all denominations, and they wanted to stand. Now, they might not have agreed with Brother Branham on this, and they might not have agreed with Brother Bosworth on that, and they may have had little disagreements, but when it came to attacking divine healing, they said, we'll stand together. Oh, it's time that the bride of Jesus Christ began to stand together. Brother Branham said, I'm still a Kentuckian. United we stand, divided we fall. 1962, hear ye him. He said, we find so many times that people just can't stand the pressure. It's of being a Christian is because they have never really died out to self and be reborn again, made from the tithes of God to stand the load, the pressure that comes against a real Christian. You try to walk with a real saint of God and find that pressure hit against you like that, you'll blow up and be back where you was to begin with. But if you've been born again and really filled with God's Spirit, then you're pressurized by God to stand the pressure that the world can put against it like that. Why is it that you can see one brother go through trial after trial after trial, and maybe his family walk off and leave him because of his stand? Maybe his church turn their back on him and kick him out because of his stand for the Word, and yet him stand and somebody else, oh my, well, they said this about my cousin, and she's a homosexual, and I'm just going to leave the message, I guess. What is it? One was pressurized. One wasn't pressurized. Acts 11, verse 19, it said, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution, this is that word again, thalipsis, upon the persecution that rose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. Now they begin to find that when Stephen was stoned, there began to come a great persecution, and him being the first martyr there of the Christian church, they begin to come in and they begin to persecute the church. Brother Branham said when they rose up there on the day of Pentecost and 120 of them was filled with the Holy Ghost, he said the devil didn't even get out of bed. But he said when Peter and John went walking down to the gate called Beautiful, arm in arm, and they saw a man there that was crippled, and he had laid there for 40 years, and people had walked by and seen him laying there begging, and he said, he stuck out his little cup, and Brother Bram said you could tell they were Pentecostal preachers. He said they didn't have a dime between them. He said, because they said, silver and gold have I none. And he said, but such as I have give I you. Rise up and walk. And something began to take place. And Brother Branham said all hell began to turn loose against them, because now it wasn't just a profession, it was a possession. That these people aren't just talking about being Christians, but now Satan began to realize that they possessed the thing that they were talking about. And that the very thing that when Jesus was here and he used the word and he told the man, he said, only believe, all things are possible. Satan could see it being performed by Jesus, but now he begins to see, oh, I thought I killed him at Calvary, but now I see that same spirit has come back on even more of them. And they begin to go and begin to do signs and wonders. And Satan begin to press down. They begin to be thrown in jail and beat and killed. But what did it do? The pressures begin to move them out. And maybe somebody that grew up around Jerusalem, they said, oh my, I think God called me to be a missionary, but I just don't believe I could ever leave my old hometown of Nazareth or my old hometown of Judea. And but then when people began to come about and try to hunt them down to take their life quickly, they went to Antioch and Cyprus and Phoenix and began to try to go anywhere they could, and they began to preach the gospel. And what did it do? The persecution began to spread the gospel in a way that if things had been cozy, it would have probably never went to some of those regions. If they could have just sat back and said, well, like a lot of us message people do, well, I've arrived, praise God, I believe God sent a prophet. That's wonderful. But what about all those out here that don't know about it? What are you going to do to tell them about it? Romans chapter 5, verse 3, and not only so, but Paul says, but we glory in tribulations, thalipsis. Also knowing that tribulation, the word again, thalipsis, worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience hope. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, the same word there, again, thlipsis, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. Now, Paul looks at all the trials that he's going through, and this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and he calls these light afflictions. Now, I don't know about you. I can look at some of my trials and maybe even some of yours, and I can say that, you know, that's a light affliction. But in chapter 11 of the same book of 2 Corinthians, Paul begins to talk about those that are boasting and things, and he says in verse 23, he says, are they ministers? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. And he says, but this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, Silas could probably look at him when he wrote this and being chained up with Paul there in prison, having been beat with him, having them attempted to stone them several times, being shipwrecked and all these things. Silas could probably look at Paul, maybe Silas or one of the brothers even pinning it as Paul being in prison many of the times when he's writing these letters. Sometimes, you know, he said in one book there, he said, I wrote to you with large letters. Brother Branham said it was because of his eyes. They had never really been fully healed from when he was struck down by the pillar of fire there. And he sought the Lord 3 times, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. And so maybe he's dictating this to Silas or one of the brothers, and as he gets across this, he said, but our light afflictions. And maybe they said, Brother Paul, I don't mean to correct you. I know you're called, and you're the messenger of the hour, and you're a prophet, and I have confidence in you. I hate to correct you, but did you say light afflictions? Don't you remember when we swam in the deep there for 2.5 days? Don't you remember when they ran us out of this town and beat us and imprisoned us and tried to stone us? Don't you remember when we were cast out and had hardly any clothes, when we were cold, when we were hungry, when we were watching our backs because people was threatening to kill us? But you want me to put light affliction? He said, yes, that's what I said. I didn't stutter, light afflictions. Because these, Paul was looking not at the circumstance, he was looking at the eternal. Many times we begin to look in our little time frame of life, and we break it down by minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years, and we begin to look at our afflictions and we begin to wonder, God, why would you allow this? And why would you allow this pressure to come on your people? Why would you allow this to take place, and trouble over here and loss over there and peril over there? All these things that Paul would call light afflictions. But God is looking at the eternal, and he's looking down the road, and he sees what you're going to have to go through, and some of the things that you're going to have to face, some of the things that you may have to be up against before we take a flight out of here. And he recognizes they have to be pressurized for the flight. They have to be pressurized for the journey. And what is he doing? He's beginning to condition us. He's beginning to get us ready. And the pressures in life and the toils and the temptations and all of that, what is it? It's a pressing together, not only of our own spiritual life, but a pressing together of the bride, that when we begin to see things take place. I know when the earthquake happened there in Haiti, there have been some churches there in Haiti that, you know, if Brother G or I wanted to go and fellowship with one church, the other church wouldn't have fellowshipped with us. You know, that's just like that in some countries, sadly, not just in some countries, even in our own, many times, you know, you go and preach for this brother, and this brother will say, well, you can't come fellowship with me because you fellowship with him. And Brother Branham said it this way. He said, well, I'll just draw the circle bigger and draw you back in. But there was churches like that in Haiti. But when the earthquake came, and suddenly they didn't have churches to meet in, suddenly they didn't have books and tapes and even their daily food and things like that. And Voice of God in different places, Relief was sending in food and sending in rice and sending in all kinds of things. And there were distributors there giving out. I don't think they went up and said, now, brother, what church did you go to?
No.
You went to the church over here. Well, I don't want your rice. I'll just go hungry today. Brother, what group were you affiliated with? I don't want your message books and tapes then. All mine were destroyed, but you just keep them. I don't want to be with you if you're affiliated with that group. Sister, what? Your uncle was a preacher over at that church, wasn't he? Well, I don't think I want to accept water from you. No, it changed the situation a little bit. They said, have you got a book or you got a tape? All mine was destroyed. Oh, yes, brother, I've got a stack of them here. You take one, and this family take one. Oh, have you got some bread today? Have you got some water? We're pretty low on rations. Everything was destroyed. Oh, yes, brother, come. We want to give you all that we can share with you. What was it? The pressures begin to drive the bride together. I hope that God doesn't have to do the same thing in our country to drive the bride of Jesus Christ together. But Paul says it this way. Well, let me read you this verse from United Under One Head, 1958. Brother Branham said, something just spoke to my heart and said, fear not, preacher. There'll be one of these days. They'll believe. It may take persecutions and things to drive us together, but God will drive his church together. Just as certain as I'm standing in this pulpit under one, that's Christ. Christ will be the head. No denomination will be the head. Christ will be the head of every believer. He says, hallelujah. I believe it's getting to a point as we begin to see more persecution come and more fall away and more separation and division and all these different things going on. I believe it'll reach a day where we won't say, you know, what church do you belong to and what doctrine do you rally around and who was your pastor and who did you come up under and what denomination did you come out from? We'll say, you believe God sent a prophet? Oh, well, you're a brother then. You're still a brother. I believe it's getting to that point, friends. We've rallied around too much of man-made garbage and focused in on a specific doctrine. This church over here, they focus on that doctrine. And this church over here, they focus on that doctrine. Brother Bram said, he said there was a black man one time that it was eating watermelon. And he said, oh my, that's good. But he said, there's more. There's more. Hey man, some of these doctrines that people get caught up with, that's wonderful. I believe some of the same things, but there's more. It's more than just a specific doctrine. It's more than a set of creeds. It's more than a legalistic life that we live a checklist off that we have to do this. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that something comes and dwells on the inside of us that it no longer becomes a book of rules, but it becomes a love letter from him to his bride. It becomes a love letter. As I said recently, when I go and I tell my children, now look, I don't want you going out on this street. I don't want you going out on this railroad track. I don't want you doing this. I don't want you going around this specific person or whatever it would be. What is it? I recognize things that I'm trying to protect them. Now, I don't do that because I hate them or because I'm angry at them. I do it because I love them. But yet many times people pick up a Bible or they pick up a message book and they say, yeah, some of the sisters, you mean I can't cut my hair? I can't wear short skirts. Well, God just must not love me. Because if he loved me, he would just let me do what I want to do. Some of you brothers say, oh, you mean I can't drink and smoke and do drugs and run around and do all these things I used to do out in the world? God just must not want me to have very much fun. No, God loves you. He's concerned about you. He wants to protect you. And he's placed these things in his word, not so that he can hold his thumb over you as a legalistic dictator, but because he knows what's best for us. Just as you would know what was best for your child and want to protect them, he has things set in place that, oh, Satan paints a beautiful picture. And you see these people out here, oh, they seem so happy, and they get off work on Friday, and they're so excited, and they just got smiles all over their face, and they come dragging in on Monday. They're broke. They got a hangover. They can't hardly walk. Some of you get about that way by Wednesday. You've been out in Laodicea so long, you're thinking, Lord, just let me get to church one more time. I can make it through the week if I can just make it to church one more time. And they come in on Monday. Oh, if I can just make it to payday so I can go out and repeat all this all over again. I think they're crazy and they think we're crazy. Why would you want to get to church in the middle of the week? Why would you want to do that? There's something down on the inside of me that needs another refilling. There's something down on the inside of me that needs a repressurization. There's something that needs something inside of me that compels me to want to go and worship God. What is it? There's something calling, a deep calling to the deep, but they try to quench it with all kinds of other things. And many people look at it, oh, those poor, pitiful people. Look at them with their long hair and their long skirts, and those brothers with their short hair and no earrings, and oh my, tisk, tisk, tisk. Look, they don't have any fun. And then you look at them about 10 years later, and they've got liver failure and lung cancer and venereal diseases, and oh, but they were having fun, supposedly. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season. But yet, what is it? They look at us and think that we're crazy. And then you walk into Walmart and look at some of them, and they've got gauges in their ear big enough to shove a softball through, and all kinds of tattoos from head to toe and piercings places we don't even want to talk about, and all kinds of things like that. And little men wearing the sissy little shorts walking through enough to make you throw up. But they're having fun. Oh, they're living life. And we think they're crazy, and yet they look at us and think we're crazy. What is it? They're pressurized differently than we are. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, the Greek word again, thlipsis, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus says it this way in St. John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That word thlipsis again. In the world ye shall have tribulation, pressures, pressing, Amen. Tribulation, all kinds of things, afflictions and troubles and pressings, oppressions, afflictions. You'll have all those things, he said. But be of a good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
He's already overcome. You say, how can I be an overcomer? Because he's already overcome for you.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 2 verse 9 says, I know thy works and thy tribulation, that word again, thlipsis, and poverty, but thou art rich. Here they were in tribulation. Here they were in poverty. Here they were in distress, being persecuted, being afflicted, being tormented. But yet the Spirit speaks to the church and says, but thou art rich.
Amen.
Brother Branham talked about two men that they grew up in the same city there, and they lived on farms, and one of them stayed and helped his parents and worked on the farm. Another one went to Chicago and became a big businessman and married a beautiful model and had all kinds of money and things. And one day he called for the young man to come up and visit him and from the farm, and they began to talk, and he began to show him all that he had and all the riches and all the fine things that he had. And here stood this man in his overalls, not a lot of worthy goods, still lived in the same area he'd grown up at, still went to the little church he went to. But the man began to think back, the rich man, about all the things that had gone on when they were children, how he'd love to just to get back in one of those old Holy Ghost meetings. And he had gone so far away from God and become so numb to all those things. And we can look and ask ourselves, who was the rich man? Who was the rich man? In earth's value, the one would outrank the other one by many miles. Their bank accounts probably wouldn't even be comparable. But who was the rich man? Brother Bram said he looked in choosing of a bride, and he said he stood there at that boxcar where the one family was living, and said he had matched his hat out there and laid out the money, and they were trying to figure out how they could scrape their money together to pay the bills and different things. And he wanted to get her a dress. He said, oh, I wanted to get it for you so bad and didn't have the money. And Brother Bram standing there looking in the door. He had married this couple. And he said, I looked back over my shoulder and I saw the big steeple of the house over there where two millionaires' children had been married. And they had 14-carat doorknobs and a great big steeple and everything. And he said, I slipped up on them. And he said, they was arguing in the house. He said, when I knocked on the door, they said, oh, Brother Branham, so good to see you, you know, and pretended everything was going okay. But he said, you can't get warm by painted fire. And he said he looked back and looked at that steeple. He said, Bill Branham, which one would you rather be? Who was the rich man? Who was the rich man? Many times we consider richness by monetary value or by popularity or by different ways that we measure it. But when we can look and see our children serving the Lord, and we can see our wives standing beside us, and we can see God blessing us, and maybe we don't have enough money that we never have to worry about anything, but God provides food on the table and a roof over our heads, we can look around and see people that may, their worthly goods may amount a thousand times more than what ours would. But who is the rich man this morning? Oh, my. He said, I know thy tribulation, thy works, thy poverty, but thou art rich. There's a man here that can turn on the light in 1963. Brother Bram says this. He said, he is present today, right here. Don't get scared. He can turn on the lights. When the persecution comes, don't get scared. There's a light. Said he would catch his people away. She'll not go through the tribulation. She'll never do it. He said she wouldn't. She'll be caught away. How are they going to do it, Brother Branham? Looks awful dark. No matter how dark it gets, you can't see your hand just before you. Just remember, there's a man here that can turn on the lights. He'll rapture the church. How's it going to take place, Brother Nathan? We've been pressurized for the flight.
Amen.
We've been pressurized for the journey. You might be going through things right now that maybe you wonder, Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Why did you allow that to happen? He's trying to pressurize you for the journey that lays ahead of you. He knows what's coming. He knows what lays in your path. He knows the different trials and things that you'll have to face. He's mindful of you. And many times the trials and persecutions and things that we think, oh, Lord, this is, how can we even bear to go through these things? But Paul looks and he says, they're just light afflictions. They're just light afflictions. They're just temporary. They may try to take your home. They may try to take your vehicles. They may try to take all kinds of things. They may try to take our rights away. They may try to take our church buildings away, our finances away, whatever it'll be. But there's one thing they can't take away. Brother Bram said when he got over there, he said they'd repossessed that old Morris chair that he was trying to pay off. And he said when he looked over there beyond the curtain of time, Sister Hope stood there. And there she stood. She said, they'll never take this one, Bill. They'll never take this one. They can burn this body. They can feed it to the lions. They can decapitate it. They can put it in prison. They can do whatever they want. But I've got one over there they'll never take.
Amen.
I've got a home over there they'll never take.
Amen.
Amen. Who is the rich man this morning? Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come, I hope that you're pressurized.
Amen.
For your journey this morning. If you aren't, there's something that can come on the inside. When the Holy Spirit begins to move in your life, maybe you say, Brother Nathan, I'm facing things at my school. I'm facing things on my job. I'm facing things in my marriage, whatever it be, that our financial situations, our health situations. I'm facing so many pressures. I know I've talked to many families in the last 2 weeks that are going through things, just all kinds of pressures and things that just aren't normal everyday things, but major trials that people are going through and persecutions that are being placed on people and trials that people are going through, lies that the devil's trying to tell people and just a constant bombardment of things, but there's a way to be pressurized. Amen. If we can stay in that atmosphere. There's something about it that if you're in the right atmosphere and when the Holy Spirit is there present, all those other things you can look at and just say it's just a light affliction. But when you begin to get out of that atmosphere and lose some of that pressurization, you say, oh, Lord, how can I bear this? Just get pressurized. Just get pressurized. Let the Holy Spirit come, whatever the trial, whatever the circumstance, whatever it would be, let him come. And he'll take the pressures away. He'll pressurize you to where you might, they'll still be there. The pressure won't leave, but you'll be pressurized to be able to withstand the pressure. Amen. God bless you this morning. Oh, so many things. So many things that we see the enemy trying to do, trying to attack, trying to destroy. But yet in the same time, we see God raising up a standard against him. Raising up things to pressurize the people. Little testimonies and things that takes place in their life that maybe they think, Lord, I don't think I can go on another day. And then just a little bit of a light begins to shine through the clouds. And they recognize he does still care about me. He does still love me. He is concerned about me. He's mindful about even the little things in my life. What does it do? It just begins to repressurize us a little bit. That when Satan would try to come in and upset things and destroy things, but yet God begins to pressurize his bride to be able to withstand what she's going through. I'm thankful for a pressurization in times like this. I'm thankful that he comes and gives us what we have need of for the journey. I could never do it on my own. I don't have the ability to pressurize myself. But when he comes, it's a different story. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning. I hadn't planned on singing this, but just in the service as I was preaching, kept coming to me. Maybe it'll encourage you this morning. Help me sing it if you know it. Oh, so many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. So many times in trials, weakness blurred my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I'm reminded I've never been forsaken. Lord, I've never had to stand one test alone. So as I look at all the victories, his spirit rises up in me. You see, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Help me sing it. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. And he never offered our victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Oh, just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision, that old adversary says, give in, you just hold on, 'cause our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. Is this your testimony? Lord, I know within myself that I would surely perish. Oh, but if I'll trust the hand of God, he'll shield the flames again. 'Cause he never promised that the cross would not get heavy and your hill would not be hard to climb. Church, he never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come right on time. You just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision, that old adversary says, give in, just hold on, 'cause our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. Oh, I know within myself that I would never make it. Oh, but if I'll trust the hand of God, he'll pressurize me one more time. 'Cause he never promised that your cross would not get heavy, that your hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said hell would always come in time. Church, just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision, and your old adversary says, give in, just play that. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning Lord, you never promised that it would be easy. You never promised we wouldn't have trials, we wouldn't have tribulations, that there wouldn't be pressures. Lord, but you did promise that you'd never leave us or forsake us. Lord, you promised that you'd be there. You promised, Lord, that you were a present help in times of trouble. Lord, how we've seen you so many times, maybe we didn't know when you were going to come in or how that you were going to come in, but yet you'd come in right on time, Lord, and take care of the situation, maybe a family problem, maybe a financial problem, maybe a health problem, but Lord, yet you rolled back the raging sea again and came in and delivered the believer that was in need. Lord, I can imagine as the Hebrew children waited there that night, knowing that they were going to be facing a fiery furnace the next day. Oh, not knowing how you would deliver, but knowing that you were able to deliver. No doubt they were feeling pressure, Father, but yet you pressurized them to be able to go through the journey. You pressurized them to go through the trial. You brought them through the fire. You brought them through the furnace, all to where even a backslidden king could look and say, I thought we put 3 men in there. Oh, but yet there's a 4th man walking in the fire. Lord, may you walk through our storm. May you walk through our fire. May you walk through our trial, our circumstance. Lord, may you be the unseen guest, Lord, in every situation. May you be the unseen guest in our homes, in our cars, at our schools, on our jobs, wherever you would take us, Father. May you be the one that's doing the leading and the guiding. I know there'll be pressures that we have to face, but Lord, it's just you pressing us into a condition, trying to get us ready, trying to get us pliable so that you can use us, that sometimes you have to take us back and allow the pressures of life to remold us and remake us and reshape us into your image, Father. But Lord, even so, come Lord Jesus. May you move in a way that you see fit. May you lead in a way that you desire. May our desires be your desires, Father. Lord, may you change our thoughts, change our desires. Lord, may you lead us and guide us to what you would have us to be. Pressures may come, trials may come, persecution may come. Lord, but as long as you're holding to our hand, Lord, I know we'll be pressurized for the journey. Thank you for the word that encourages us, Lord, in times of trouble. I thank you that we have a resource that we can go to. When I don't have all the answers, Lord, you know that I don't. But Lord, I know where to point people to for the answers. Lord, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I thank you, Lord, that you're holding on to each and every one of us. You know, you knew us before the foundation of the world. You called us and ordained us and elected us to be what you've chosen us to be, Father. You led us and guided us this far. Lord, I have confidence in you. Lord, you know about our tomorrows. You know about our circumstances. You know about everything that each one is facing. Lord, I don't know all the situations, but you do, Father. May you just minister to each need this morning. Lord, give us strength. Give us journey. Give us strength for the journey, rather, Lord. Father, give us as the bride of Jesus Christ, Lord, just a perfect love for one another, Lord. Even if we see our brothers and our sisters, Lord, maybe we don't agree with every little thing, but give us love, Father. Press us together, Father, even if it takes persecution, even if it takes a squeezing to come, Father. Lord, drive us together so we can be ready and pressurized for a rapture, Father. Lord, we're longing and waiting, Lord, for the change of these bodies, where this mortality will put on immortality. Prepare our hearts, Father. Condition us for the journey, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. God bless you this morning. Brother Bram said in 1965, Invisible Union of the Bride of Jesus Christ, he said, thus saith the Lord, the move is on for the Bride of Jesus Christ. I was reading a quote the other day, and studying for this, he was talking about different things. He said, I hear a rustling in the mulberry trees again. Amen. Let's sing about it this morning. Oh, the move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. And I know, I know, I know. Oh, just move on, brother. Move on, sister. This is the moving day. Oh, won't you move a little closer where the streams are flowing? Move on, brother, move on. Oh, the move is on, my Lord, the move is on.
Move a little closer where the streams are flowing. Move on, brother, move on. Move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. I can hear the rustle in the mulberry trees, and I know, I know, I know the move is on. Won't you move on, brother? Move on, sister. This is the moving day. Move a little closer where the streams are flowing. Move on, brother, move on. Oh, the move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. Oh, I can hear the rustle in the mulberry trees, and I know, I know, I know the move is on.
What this gave me peace. Surely been good to me. Lord, you showed me the message, gave me peace. Surely been good to me. Oh, you showed me the message, gave me peace. Surely been good to me. You have done. Oh, Lord, 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 you surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you surely been good to me. Could never do. Oh, then you applied the token over me. You surely been good to me. You applied the token over me. Surely been good to me. You applied the token over me. Surely been good to me. Oh, you have done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, 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 you surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you surely been good to me. You have done what this world. Oh, and when I was bound, you delivered me. Surely been good to me. Although I was bound, you delivered me. You surely been good to me. Even when I was bound, you delivered me. You surely been good to me. Oh, you have done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, 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 you surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, has he been good to you this morning? Oh, testify about it. Oh, Lord, 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 you surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, you've done much more than I deserve. Surely been good to me. You've done much more than I deserve. Surely been good to me.